Before we started, Father, we want to thank you for an opportunity to sow into your kingdom. And Father, not only do we want to speak this word to the people sitting here, but for people down the road as they would purchase or receive this series of tapes and CDs, Father, that will touch their heart, that will bring them into another dimension of who you are. And Father, we thank you that you've given us an opportunity to participate in sowing something like that into their life, that will bring them into a new dimension with you. And Father, for us sitting here, Lord, that it will not only bring us new wisdom and revelation, but will strengthen, encourage, and challenge us, even where we are today, that we can come to a place that we really want to hear your voice, know your touch, and sense your presence. We confess we have an open ear and a receptive heart. And Father, we confess that we are good ground. And we bless you for your faithfulness to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, this is the last part of this CD series, on cassette series on Road to Sonship. We're talking about generational blessing and hereditary nobility, which the Hebrew calls gray hair. The term for gray hair is hereditary nobility. In other words, it's passed down. And it is a kingship because the word says that we're kings and priests. We've been studying that in Miles Monroe's book and understanding or rediscovering the kingdom. The Lord is saying a lot in these days about this. In fact, as we have mentioned before, when we crossed over the millennial line of 2000, something happened in the church. You can look back over time and you can see where God has done a lot of things in the church. And periodically and seasonal, and this is one of them, because when the year 2000 came, something took place in the church. There was a transition. The Bible says that we have not passed this way before. It really doesn't mean the direction we're going. It really means the manner in which we do it, the way we implement what we're hearing. And most of what we've heard in times past will fall into that category because it's nothing more than a foundation for other things that God wants to do. So he's definitely taking us in a new direction, but it's not literally changing everything except giving us more enlightenment to where we are. Now I've asked you to turn to Genesis chapter 1, but as you do, I want to remind you of Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. He said, "Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And because this is a season we would call the last days, we know that God is causing the hearts of the sons to return to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the sons. It is a generational thing. It always has been. But what the church has done for generations has relied on knowledge and education to get us someplace and to promote us. But yet we have to understand it's relational in all aspects of what God's doing in the kingdom today. It has to come from some place. In my generation, you had to go get it on your own. No one really imparted to you. But we're learning about the blessing of impartation and how one thing can be received from another person. One of the ways we got started on this is we've explained in the 50s, the Lord restored back to the church the evangelist, the 60s, a pastor, the 70s, the teacher, the 80s, the prophet, the decade of the 90s with the apostolic. And as we begin to teach on those things and see the progression, as you teach on the apostolic, especially back in the 80s, we started seeing the progression of what God was doing and the pattern that he was using. And so we started teaching on the apostolic. And back in those days, the only thing you could do was teach it from a historical viewpoint and the definition of the word itself, apostle. But you couldn't teach that very long until we ran across the word fathers. And after teaching on fathers for a few years, then another word constantly jumps up, which is called sons. Out of sons came blessings. Out of blessings came inheritance. And out of inheritance came hereditary nobility of gray hair. So we've talked about the progression of these things and where we came from and where we're going. What we talk about this morning is generational blessings. And if you look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we'll start and through 28, Genesis chapter 1, Verse 26, and the Lord said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28, it says, God blessed them, and God said five things to Adam and Eve. He said, number one, be fruitful. Number two, multiply. Number three, replenish the earth. Number four, subdue it. And have, number five, dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, all of us would agree today that that is still valid for us. You know, Jesus said, at my name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. He said, you have power to cast out devils, heal the sick. All of those kind of things. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. But yet, as we look at the church today, the church is not performing up to par, if you would. We're just not measuring up to the promise that God's given unto us. And we really can't figure out. Sometimes we would question our commitment. Sometimes we would question our understanding, our age, our education. The devil has convinced us that we're not good enough, we're not capable, we're not powerful enough, we're not close enough to God. And he just gives us a lot of lies, if you would, to keep us out of the principles of God and the promises of God and the blessing of God. And because we can't produce, we look at that as failure. And out of that, we believe God's displeased with us. And so we come to a place, as a rule, not even trying. I know years ago I wrote a book about the devil's new strategy. The devil's strategy is to convince you that it can happen, but you're not good enough for it to happen to you. And what the Lord is doing in this hour is trying to convince us that he loves us and reveal to us his heart. And that's part of the heart of the fathers coming back to the children. Not only in the natural does that take place, but also in the spirit. Not only our spiritual fathers, but Father God himself. And so he's restoring that relationship back to himself by revealing himself to us and drawing us to himself. But one of the things we need to recognize here, before God ever called them to do those five things, he first blessed them. The first four words you read in that verse 28, and God blessed them. The root word for that just means, it just means to release. To release and activate. But here's the Hebrew definition. God gave, and to the word blessing, God gave special grace to man by imparting the power of fruitfulness to him through the blessing. See, if we're not being fruitful, it means we haven't been blessed to such a place that we understand who and what we are, and that God is standing with us, for us, and that what he said will come to pass, because the word specifically says that his word will not return void, but it will accomplish and prosper in the thing whereinto he sent it. If that's true, why aren't we doing these five things? Why aren't we being fruitful, multiplying, replenishing, subduing, and having dominion? Simply because we don't believe we can. If we really believe we could do these things, we'd be doing it. What the devil's trying to do is convince us to make a living, to put a roof over your head and clothes on your back and food in your belly. And all that's valid, all of that's needful. But you know, if we seek the Lord, he does it for us. Hello. He takes care of that whole thing. Because he said, if you seek me, then all the things that the world seeks after will be given to you. But the devil's convinced us that we have to have ours first. You make the Lord second. You don't let him take priority in your life. You do that, have to do that for yourself. And if there's any spare time, then you'll give that to him. And now that's the way the traditional church operates. That's the way we've all operated at times. If there's something that we wouldn't consider more important, we'll go do that rather than let God have his way. Now, it doesn't mean that his way is always taking away from yours, because sometimes the reason we fall into that trap is we don't know God well enough, that he loves us, that because he wants us to have our time, he wants us to enjoy and have pleasures and all of those kind of things. But the church has never really learned to evaluate the difference between our will and his will. Now, we can do that legalistically, black and white, the logos of the word, do's and don'ts. But what God wants today is to build a relationship so that we know. I've given you an example before that I'd set a commitment just as a discipline for myself to make sure I sought the Lord every day and praying and reading. And And one day I was really got caught up in a lot of things, and it was dark, and I made up my mind. I said, well, I've got to, after supper, go over to the building, spend some time with God. And the Lord said, why? Just spoke to my heart. Why? Well, I haven't done what I was supposed to, what I set a goal from to do. He said, well, what were you doing today? And I went through the whole process, and he said, were you doing that for me? I said, yes. He said, well, we have spent time together then. What was he saying? You don't have to legalistically do things if you're doing it the right way. And so that really brought a freedom. It lifted guilt off of me. But yet I'm saying that we still have a responsibility, because you see, I want to do these five things. I want to be fruitful. I want to multiply. I want to replenish. I want to subdue, and I want to have dominion. But before God sent them out, what he did, he blessed them with a special grace. Again, the Hebrew definition, he gave special grace of empowerment. The reason people aren't subduing, the reason we don't witness, the reason we don't give, the reason we don't do a lot of things is we don't feel like we're empowered to. There's always other circumstances. There's always this, thus, and so. We have, and we can call it excuses, but really most of it is just the devil's been able to kill, steal, and destroy what God wants us to have, and we really bought the lie that we're not able. But yet the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. So we have to make choices. See, I choose to believe that I'm empowered. Now what I have to do, I have to look for opportunities to be fruitful. You have to look at opportunities to multiply, replenish. You have to look for opportunities to subdue and have dominion. Now, if you don't look for them, sometimes the Lord just brings them on you where you want it or not. Just like we've talked about before, and don't turn back a message we do. The Lord led them to the bitter water that he might test and prove them. The word test and prove means to change. Well, see, if we would catch the Lord's voice right off the bat and listen to that and follow through with it, a lot of times he will not lead us to certain places to go through certain things. Because if we don't get it by the word, then you have to get it by experience. Now, all things will not be that way, because the Holy Ghost led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted the devil for 40 days. There's certain things we have to go through so you know who you are and what God's plan is. It's not God's plan to tempt you with evil, the Bible says, but yet we still forget at times we have an adversary, the devil. Just because we get a good promise given to us, it doesn't mean that everything's as peaches and cream. You still have to deal with Diablos, the prince of the flies, the devil, because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take advantage. But yet we have to learn how to face that, deal with that, and overcome that. One of the ways we do that, and one of the most important ways of this season that the church is in, is through generational blessings being passed down from generation to generation. In the book of Acts, it says David served his generation. I'm coming to the place, I personally believe that I can only serve one generation, but I can prepare the next two or three by imparting and giving what I have to them. But you see, you can only give to those who want it. Most generally, we've looked at that as just education. Let me hear what you know, then I've got it. No, that's not it at all, because the whole thing today is the heart. And so when I get around people that I see that have a heart similar to what God's calling me to do, I draw from that. I want that impartation. I ask them to bless, to lay hands on, to speak words of encouragement to me. Every time I go someplace and this happens, I've come back and testified about the people I've had to bless me and impart to me. Why? Because I wanted you to be encouraged. Now, there was a time that you would ask for blessing. Now, we speak a blessing after each meeting. But yet, when you really draw from something, like every time I'm around Dr. Bob Lemon, I never leave without getting an impartation. Now, if I'm there a day, it's when I last day I leave, the last minute I leave. Or if I'm there 3 days, I still wait till it's over. But I've done it so much now that when I show up, he begins to bless. He'll call me on the phone, and before he hangs up, he just speaks blessing. Why? Because that empowers people. That gives you acceptance and affirmation. The little book we call Family Blessing, it teaches us how to do that to our family. We need to learn how to speak blessing. Again, it's a shame that we know more about the curses, the occult and unforgiveness and generational curses, than we know more about all of that than we do the blessing of the Lord. And we've got to turn that around. And that's what God's trying to do today is impart that a special grace of empowerment. In fact, the root word for blessing means empowerment with special grace. Now, there's a couple of verses I would like for you to look at over in Genesis chapter 12, if you would. If you turn to that real quick, it talks about God blessing Abraham. Verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. In verse 2, I will make thee a great nation and I will bless thee. And I will make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing." Now, my family comes from southern Tennessee. As near as I can trace back, and I can't remember if it was the Clayton side or the Gillum side. That was my mother, was a Gillum. One of them was run out of South Carolina. He was either a moonshiner or a horse thief. I forgot which it was. So I don't have a lot of royalty in my family. That's true. I don't know which side of the family it was. But today, we can change that because I know Christian and I have a saying together that a good name is to be desired above all things. And so you can choose to change your name. Now, I'm not talking about literally changing your name, but you can develop a good name for the family. I like what Don Norrie said in his book No More Sour Grapes. When his grandfather released a blessing to his son, which is Don Norrie's father, he said, "Listen, I'm giving you the Norrie name, and it's a good name. It is a clean name." You know, a lot of people don't have clean names today. Why? Because somebody's done something in your family, and every time that name crops up in town or whatever, that bad experience is attached to that. But we today can turn that around. We can bring forth a good name in our family if we really want to. Now, there was a time like when I was a kid. That's all changed since then, naturally, but I was terrified to get caught by the police or have a bill collector or anything show up because you protected the family name as best that you possibly could. If I'd have got caught for speeding or drag racing when I was a kid, my dad would have just no doubt what he'd have done to me because it would have been in the paper and that would have been brought reproach to the family name. Hello. Now today, people don't really care. They just go do what they want to and They don't care what other people think or how they feel. But still, the Bible says a good name is to be desired above all things. And we can create that. Now, he said, "I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make your name great." There's a lot in names. I'm amazed just on the newscast the other night. The 5 top names for boys. I don't know how they choose all this, but I guess it was just hospital records when kids are born. The top 5 names, and I didn't write them down, but they're all biblical names. The top 5 names for boys are all biblical. And almost all of them are the old patriarchs of the Old Testament. I was shocked, really. I mean, I was literally shocked when I saw that. But you have to understand, I believe the Lord's bringing something back and speaking to us. He's speaking to us a lot of things through Hollywood, through the movies. You know, you can talk about the Passion movie and all of those. It's amazing what's coming out today and what the Lord is really saying. But he goes on to say, "And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." You want to know how much you're blessed? We were talking about this the other night. You know how much you're blessed by how much you bless other people. Now, you may think you're blessed right now, but see, if you're not reversing that and pouring out as much as you want in, and if not more so, you're not really blessed at all. We have to constantly look for opportunities to help and bless other people. And if we're not doing that, then we become the Dead Sea. Everything runs in, nothing runs out. And a lot of times people don't look for a way to run it out. They're just looking for it to come in. Give me mine, give me mine, and give me mine. And there's not a week it goes by. I don't look for opportunities to do something or buy something or take somebody or do something for somebody else. Why? Because you reap what you sow. You ain't sowing nothing, you ain't going to reap nothing. And we have to constantly keep that in mind because he said, "I'm going to make you a blessing." For what purpose? That you can be a blessing. Now, I proved to the Lord I want to be a blessing, and so he blesses me so that I can bless. We've just joined, and most of you know, a government project or program or whatever it is. And that's probably not the right description of it. But any 501c3 can receive a lot of stuff free. Well, I'm already given some of the other churches some of the stuff that I've been able to get myself. Why? Because I want to be a giver. I want the church to be a giver. I want ARM to be a giver. I want us to look for prospects that we can sow into and be a blessing to. Why? Because He has empowered us to do these things. Well, the one thing that all of us need to do on is the one about witnessing and outreach and touching other people's lives, bringing them to the Lord. See, sometimes I know traveling with Tom Cox, let me tell you, he'll scare you. We went into just in Mississippi last week, and Frank Goodpasture was with us, and we stopped in, right on the Mississippi border. You know, they had these barbecue huts, and I mean, the smoke rolling out of it and all of that. And we went in, got a barbecue sandwich, and little old boy sitting there, and he's sitting there with his dad, and Tom Cox just started talking to him like he was a man, you know. And I mean, Frank Goodpasture said, oh, he said, I don't know if he's going to get in trouble or not. But you see, he's gifted, and in 5 minutes, everybody in the place knew he was there, knew what he was doing, and just opened up. I mean, it was amazing to see that. But you see, he knows who he is. He knows he can do that. He has a gift for that. He's empowered to do that. Well, see, I want that. I want that gift. So I want to be empowered to do those kind of things. I want to be empowered to give. I want to be empowered to bless. But you see, if I don't look for it, it ain't going to happen. I can sit over here behind four doors and sit there and do nothing, come here once or twice a week, and that's about it. No, that's not what I want. The building, I want to get it done. I want to start doing what God wants us to do. I want to start pouring out to other people. Why? Because when I do, it comes back. And I'm not doing it just to get it. I'm doing it because the Lord's been so good to me, and I want to show my love and consideration for all that He's done for me and the blessing He's been to me. I want to show Him how much I appreciate that, and I give back. I want to be that blessing. And so that's all part of this. He goes on and says, I will bless those that bless thee. Hello. I mean, I can say this, not to put any guilt, but just like a while ago, the volunteers come and help today. You know, you come and help, you're going to get blessed. It's just, there's no other, you can't outrun it. The blessings of the Lord will overtake you. That's when people come up and want to give me stuff. I take it. The other day, I was given an aluminum boat. I took it. I may not keep it, I may. It may be somebody walks up in 2 weeks and just has a tremendous need for an aluminum boat. Well, I'm a resource. I'm a blessing. I have opportunity. I have the resources to do those things. But you see, I want to grow bigger so that I can have bigger resources. I can do greater things. But you see, I have to put myself in a position for that to happen. How do you do that? I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed as Abraham was blessed. And he said, I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those that curse you. Now, not a lot of people understand that. But I'll tell you one thing. You can't do things against ministry very long until you begin to reap out of that someplace, some way. And the devil's taught us, the church today, well, you can just say and do whatever you want to in church and act how you want to, and then it ain't going to hurt anybody, or it's not going to change anything. That's not true at all. Let me tell you, when the Lord lifts His hand to protection off of you, because, and He doesn't lift it, as we run out from under it. I probably should say it that way. We run out from under it. We go do our own thing and not His thing. We're all like sheep gone astray doing our thing. We all know what our thing is, but what is His thing? Now, I'm not talking about neglecting your family, because we've really tried to change and turn that around. But I still know I still don't do as good as I could or would like to. But yet I'm learning how to spend time with the family. I'm really trying that. I'm really trying to learn how to do that, because in my day you didn't give them any time because we thought it was more important to do the other. But I tell you what, it's just as bad to do the other and not serve God. Hello. We have to have a balance in what the Lord is doing. But the only way you can have a balance is to know Him, so that when He tells you what to do, you can hear it. And that comes through the blessing. Because that's what He said. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to power you. I'm going to give you special graces to accomplish certain things. So it should be our desire to find out what those things are. And so He goes on and says, I will curse those that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, how in the world do you think somebody from Podunk Holler is going to be a blessing to the world. Well, it's very easy to understand. What are we doing? We're sitting here listening how to put another message in this. I don't know where that's going to end up. It could. I guarantee it's going to end up in foreign countries. I guarantee you what happens over here is going to change a lot of people's lives. Whether I'm here or somebody else or anything else, it's going to change people's lives. We have an opportunity to influence and touch the world. Hello. Yes. It's not even a question to me about, of course, 30, 40 years ago, I'd probably said that's impossible for myself. Well, you know, I'll never be in a place unless I can relate to somebody that is doing those kind of things. But yet, John Alley called this week from Australia, or I should say I called him, and he was talking to me, and he said, the Lord's really impressed upon me that I just need to come and sit down and spend some time with you. Not to do nothing, just come and sit down. He said, I want an impartation. Well, I sat there and listened to that, and I think, well, what do you want an impartation? Now, this is the way your mind works. You're in some cases doing greater things than I'm doing. But you know, he said this, he said, every time you've come, and I think it's six or seven times we've been to Australia, he said, when you leave, the church has changed. Now see, being here locally, you won't understand that probably. It may not have an effect or whatever. But you see, there's places, Richie Halsley will tell you the same thing, and I'm not saying any of this to try to build myself up as a fact as much as it's the gift that God is doing something. And when people open up to the gift, they receive. That's what the generational blessing is. It's passed from one generation to the next. And all he said was, he said, I want to come. He said, there's more to this. Well, I just began to share to him about the last message the Lord gave me, and it just got real quiet on the phone. And every time that happens, I know that, man, I said, well, are you there? Well, yeah, I'm thinking. The very thing he said he wanted was the very thing I just told him. And it was just a message I ain't even figured out yet. I've talked with the prophets. I've talked with Dr. Bob Lemon at Sons Gathering. I sat down and talked to, or not Sons Gathering, R&R. I sat down and talked to the four or five major prophets that was there, sharing with them what the Lord had given to me. And that's what I just shared with John. And it just touched the very thing that he said he had been seeking God for months. Well, why did the Lord give it to me? Why didn't he give it to him? Because it's a generational thing. It passes from one generation to the next. And that's what God's plan is. Now, you go over into Genesis. Before I do that, let me quote something to you out of Galatians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of the promise, but God said, give it to Abraham, or he gave it to Abraham by promise. His promise of blessing was given to Abraham. I want you to listen to this. You got to catch this. The promise was given to Abraham by God. Now listen to what happens. The word inheritance here in Galatians 3:18 strictly means to receive by lot. What you were born into, what you were able to receive, what somebody was imparted to you, what you chose to be a part of. It was given by lot to possess. Then the following shows how the idea inheriting broadens out to include all spiritual good provided through and in Christ, and particularly all that is contained in the hope grounded on promise of God. A birthright, that into the possession of which one enters in by virtue of sonship. So you can only get an inheritance through relationship. Now, you can come to a meeting like this and Thursday nights and the meetings we'll have over here. All of that is educational. Unless you want the heart of whoever it is sharing with you. Now, when your hearts bond like Jonathan and David, Jesus and the disciples, Moses and Joshua, I mean, you can go right down the line of whoever you want to talk about. When there's a relationship established, then it's not just education anymore, it is an imparting of the heart. And he said the way you receive inheritance is by virtue of sonship. Now what's bothering the church today is we're taught every Sunday to come to church and hear a sermon. That's education. But what we're not taught is how to receive impartation. Because we've been taught, the world has taught us to go out here and do our own thing. Get a good job. Provide, provide, provide. Let me tell you, when you get to be 60, 70, whatever, you find out all of that is, like Paul said, but dung. Is it good? You better believe it's good. I want the best. I want a good car, good house, good clothes, good food. But let me tell you, you come to the place to recognize that's not the most important thing in life. It's only that which is done for the Lord. And I'm not saying putting, just neglect everything else for that, because God's not into that. The problem is we haven't built a relationship with the Lord enough to know what He really wants. Now over in Genesis chapter 15, He begins to talk to Abraham about giving him all the land. And Abraham said, because I don't have an heir, take Eliezer, my servant. This boy was born in my family, take him. God said, I can't have him, I have to have a son. There has to be an heir. And Abraham's an old man. He said, well, I'm too old, I can't have one. The Lord says, yeah, I'm going to give you an heir. And the story was, he did. Well, over in Genesis chapter 16, you know, Hagar was given to Abraham to have a son or have a child. He did, Ishmael. And Hagar began to put some pressure on Sarah because Sarah was still barren. And she came under a lot of persecution. And Sarah really got in her face about all of this and ran her off. And God said, no, you go back and do what's right. So she did. Now in verse chapter 21 of Genesis is when Isaac came along. When the promise of God was manifested. Now when Isaac was born, Ishmael, you know, Sarah said, you're going to have to cast this bondwoman out. And so Abraham didn't like it. He gave her food and water, sent her out. And when the water ran out, it said in chapter 21 that she went and laid the child down, which really he was a teenager. Wasn't a baby at all, because it was a number of years after Ishmael was born, before Isaac. She put him under a bush, and then she went way over to another bush because she didn't want to see him die from thirst. Probably wasn't starvation, but at least from thirst. And while she was at a distance away, the Lord spoke to her and he said, why are you crying? But right before he spoke to her, it says God heard the child crying. And then he said to her, why are you crying? She said, because of this. He said, and he showed her a well or a water hole. They refreshed herself. And then it says God heard the child again. It never did say God heard Hagar. It heard Ishmael. Why? Because Ishmael had the DNA of Abraham. Because he was attached to Abraham, he was made a recipient of the promise that God gave. Even though he was born out of the time, wrong person, wrong place, all of that kind of stuff, he was still had a DNA. And because he had that DNA, then he was eligible to the promise. It's like today, not only do my children and grandchildren have total access to everything I have, but they've got also access to everything that I am. You need to understand that. Everything that I am, everything that I represent, a good name, everything that I have, like Don DePriest, I will guarantee you, you don't know that name, but that's okay, or Dr. Bob Lemon, whoever you want, any kind of relationship I would have with him, Jeff would have it also. Hello. In fact, I mean, there's guys walk in here and show him as much respect as they would show me. Why? Because he's my son. If I live long enough, which I believe I will, my grandchildren will receive the same thing. They will get the same respect. Why? Because it's inherited. It's given. Now, if they blow it, if they throw it away, that's their choice. And then a bad name will crop up and it'll take time to clear that up again. But if we just do what God wants us to do, then that good name is made available. Inheritance is released. Blessing is released. But how about spiritual children? The same thing. People connect. They want to be a part, not just to learn something. Because years ago, you went and you stayed with somebody as long as they taught you something. And once you got what they had, you went and did your own thing. No, that don't work anymore. It will not work anymore. Why? It's not the pattern of what God's doing. He's putting things together, not tearing things apart. And so Hagar, there was a tremendous lesson with that thing of Hagar. God heard the child. He never said he heard Hagar when she was crying. It was the child. Well, what about people in my lineage? When they begin to cry out, well, the same thing's going to happen. God will hear them. Why? Because there's a connection to Him. There's a connection. And because of that connection, generational blessing is released. You can talk about over in Genesis 12, verse 10, it says there was a great famine, and Abraham went down into Egypt and sojourned there because the famine was great. And over in Genesis chapter 26, another famine came, the time and the season of Isaac, and he got ready to go to Egypt too, because that's what daddy did. And God said, no, you stay here, because what I could not do with your daddy, I will do with you. I blessed him that way, but I'm going to bless you another way, because this time I'm going to teach you how to trust me. God said, then I had to send him down there into another area, in an area of fruitfulness, so he could just be blessed. But now the Lord went a little bit deeper with Isaac. And so Isaac said he sowed in a time of famine and reaped a hundredfold. Every generation comes into a greater blessing. Why? Because it's a generational. Every generation expands. Every generation gets stronger. The truth is known. It is. Jeff and the kids should do far more than I've ever done. Why? It's just what the Bible says. Will he do it like I do it? No, but there's things that God's called them to do that they will start to say they'll be responsible for it. They will, but they need to do it because God gave it to them. But what about spiritual children? No different. You can receive almost as much as, and I wouldn't say almost as much, you can receive as much from me as he can, although what he will receive will be different than what you receive. You will receive more of my heart, but really, you can receive as much from the heart as he can, but really he gets all the material, all of the other things that I represent, and the blessing of the name he has. You can't have that. You can have it out of relationship, knowing that you went here, became a part of this, and people will respect you for that, but you can grasp my heart and take what's in my heart and apply it to whatever kind of ministry or life God's given into you, and it's still going to be very fruitful for your life. See, I'm not a lemon, Dr. Bob's lemon natural son, and I can never receive his natural things, but I can grasp the things of his heart, add it with what I've already got, which makes me stronger in who I already am. And so that's the way generational blessing begins to operate. And there's so much. You can go over to Genesis chapter 27. Now, you don't need to turn there. But Isaac and Esau. You know the conflict, or Jacob, or I'll get it right here in a minute. Isaac and Ishmael, the conflicts they had. And when Isaac became old, he was determined to release the blessing to his oldest. And you know, two children were born. Esau and Jacob. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. We like to say that Jacob was a thief. He stole the inheritance. But yet, over in Genesis 25, it said he spoke to Rebekah and said, there's two children in your womb. The older will serve the younger. But you go back to the time when they were born, or the time when Isaac was getting ready to release a blessing. Isaac never heard God say that. Why? He was so focused on doing it right. Why? Because he had such a problem with his own brother. He was determined he was going to do that so scripturally he couldn't hear God. And that's the problem we get in. We're going to do this thing so right, black and white, rules and regulations, that we really miss God. Why didn't God speak to Isaac about the older serving the younger? He wouldn't have been open to it. He had to speak to the mother. So when Esau comes in and said, I want a blessing, the old man said, go kill me some meat and all that, and I'll give you the blessing. She heard it and sent her son in and deceived the old man in getting the blessing. See, we can get so legalistic in belief that we can't even hear God. That's the reason relationship has to be established with him. And so inheritance is released, it's activated, it's powerful. And we have to learn how to move and flow, not only with our natural children, but also with our spiritual children. Over in Hebrews chapter 7, it talks about when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, that blessing also went to Levi. Levi was four generations away. But because of Abraham's faithfulness, God said, I'm going to bless even Levi, which nobody probably even thought of his name, who he was. So if I stay faithful today in what God's called me to do, Tori and Christian and Trey's kids is going to be blessed according to my faithfulness. And I guarantee you their names hadn't even been thought of. But it's no different. God's promises are yes and amen. So what he did for there, he's going to do for me. So Levi paid tithes like Abraham. In other words, Levi was getting blessed and he was still four generations away. Over in Isaiah chapter 37, verse 35, God said, I'm going to do this because I'm going to bless you because of my servant David. And David had been dead for several hundred years. And God said, because of David's faithfulness, I'm still going to bless. So if I'm faithful, the Lord's going to bless my family the same way. So why wouldn't I want that? Why wouldn't I want to desire to do that and be that? I want to hear what he has to say. Because I'm a blessing. If God's going to bless me, I want to be a blessing. And so I have to look for opportunities to bless. I can't bless everybody, but I can bless somebody. And that's the way I look at it. And I have to try to find out the somebodies. One of the pastors, Reggie Tucker, was just telling me the other day, well, one of his shires didn't work. And I thought, well, they have those up at Nair. They give those away. I got a whole mechanism for a shire. I took it down yesterday. When I saw him, gave it to him. He said, how much owe? He said, you don't owe me nothing. I just want to bless you. Hello. Did you ever go out and buy a big control thing for a shire? See what that costs? Well, I got it from nothing from Uncle Sam. Why can't I give it for nothing? I could have said $50 or $100. He'd probably give it to me. Well, no. I'm a blessing. But in order to be that, I have to be blessed. And the Bible says he has blessed me. Now, look at Psalms 92 real quick. I've been easy on you. You haven't heard the turn to too many. Psalms 92. Psalms 92, beginning with verse 13. Glory to God. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in what? Old age. And they shall be what? Some of us are scriptural. Glory to God. I'm going to be fat and flourishing. That's not talking about a waistline, but it's really spiritually. Hallelujah. In our old age. See, as you begin to study the different types that we've gone through, from the apostle to fathering to sons to blessings to inheritance, as you begin to study the word inheritance, invariably another term kicks up, gray hair. Gray hair. Let me read a couple of these. Psalm 71:18, don't turn. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. Listen to this. Until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone else who is to come. See, I'm here to prepare this generation, but impart to the next. Exactly. Listen. Listen to it again. Now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone else who is to come. So he talks about his generation, but also other generations. What can I do? He laid up in store for the temple with Solomon. David did a lot. God constantly reminded people about what David did. I want that kind of testimony and relationship with God. But he said, when I'm old and gray-headed, Proverbs 16:31, gray hair is a crown of glory. Well, see, most people don't believe that because, not make a joke of it, we like Clairol and Grecian too much. I mean, you can dye your beard, you know, and or your mustache or whatever you want to. And there was a season time there that, you know, you didn't see many gray-headed people. Why? Because it was sort of chic to color it and wild and all those other kind of stuff. And when we read through the Bible about gray hair, we just sort of snicker and move on. We just sort of laugh at it, not paying any attention. And I kept running across it so much, so I thought, well, I'm going to study this. And to our amazement, I began to see the responsibility of old people is to bless and impart to the next. What we have not been taught is how to respect the older generation. Why? Because the older generation has never proved its love and concern for the other generation. Now, there's a couple of verses I wrote down this morning when I got here. John chapter 5, verse 19, I said, I tell you the truth, the son can do nothing of himself. He cannot, he can do only what he sees his Father doing. Now everybody says, well, that's God. Well, wouldn't you like to be able to stand here, sit here today and say, everything I do is God because I've seen God do it. Well, that ain't going to work. The Lord said to Malachi about people's givings, he said, you didn't learn your giving patterns from me, you learned it from your fathers. So not only is there a negative to learn from your fathers, but there's also a positive. Right. See, you can sit around and talk to people, and it's not going to take you very long to find out really what they believe and what their attitude is. How do they feel about God? Where are they in serving the Lord? Did we just go to church because it's Sunday? Do we go to keep somebody off our back or to please our wife or a husband or our parents or whatever? Or do we go because we really have a sincere desire to love the Lord? Maybe not know how, but we're here to learn how. So again, he said, you learn what you learn from your fathers. He said, I only do and say what the fathers told me to do and say. He said, because what the father does, the son does. Now that's most important vertical. But because of what Jesus said, it also works horizontal. When he called Peter and John, what did he say? They're sons of thunder. Well, I wonder what, Peter was pretty outspoken. John was, I guess, sort of laid back. But I guess the old man must have been something. Sons of thunder? Who was thunder? Doesn't give John and Peter's dad's name. But evidently, he had a pretty good reputation. Come on. So he said, you can only do what you've seen your fathers do. Well, all of us have had earthly fathers. I guarantee you, every one of you here got traits. From pops and everybody else we come across, you know. I heard somebody say one time, I want to get married, I'm going to find me a good wife. He said, well, always look at the mother and you'll find out what your wife's going to be like. But there's some. You marrying one of them or a combination of two. Why? Because you didn't learn what you learned from somebody else. The old saying is the apple didn't what? Fall too far from that tree. I guarantee you, you hang around that person long enough and you can say, well, there's mama and there's daddy. Because that's what we're going to act like. Now, when we come into spiritual relationships, the same thing should happen. I noticed with Bob Terrell, after a while, I said a couple of things that he'd always say. Now, when I said it, I thought, why am I saying that? I've done some things like Dr. Bob Lehman has done. Why? You draw from things. You can't become them, but you can take those good traits and let them begin to be part of your life. That's the reason relationship is there. You have to see something. But you see, now if we're doing our own thing, we want to stay away from that because we don't want anybody to really know what we are. We try to hide. And all of us have done that. There's a sign back there, the difference between sons and servants. One of them says, a servant will only tell you what they want you to know. Hello? Because there's no relationship, they're not going to open up and tell you what's on their heart. Is that right? Well, why wouldn't we want to open up and share a heart? Every individual is a little different, I guess. But let's go on. Proverbs 17:6. Children's children are a crown for old men. The glory of children are their fathers. Proverbs 20:29. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray hair. Well, I'm sure there's some gray up here. It's too light to see it. But he's not talking so much about that. He's talking about your longevity, if you would. He's talking about supposedly the wisdom you've obtained. You can tell people, don't do that. I've tried that four times. It didn't. Just stay away from. You know, we can impart things to people. It's amazing what age can do at times if you just listen to it. Hello. But see, we don't want nobody to lead us around by the nose or the ear, so therefore we're just not going to ask or not going to participate, which really reveals there's no relationship. But you see, when I come to a place I don't know something, I want to draw. I don't want to have to learn the hard way by experience. If I have to, that's the way it's going to be. But I would rather be able to be open and receptive and let people speak into my life. Gray hair. As you really begin to research it again, it means hereditary nobility is the Hebrew term for it. Now over in John chapter 7, verse 18, it says, he who speaks of his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false in him. Now I have to speed this up. All of these are on single tapes, but and single messages, but I'm trying to mix two of them here together, so I can't do as good a job if I was just doing one. So as you begin to build relationships with people who are either more experienced, knowledgeable, gifted, age-wise, or whatever, you can draw from them, and God will add that to what you already are. Now, if you don't do that, then you get to learn it the hard way. And what's crazy about this, our mind tells you can do it. Because we look at survival as blessing. And they're not even compatible, the two. So how do we get honor? What is this thing being imparted to us from another generation? It is honor. Jesus asked the Father for that says God gave him the honor. He said that I can give it to them. The way honor is imparted to you is through other people. There's a segment of honor you get from God when you get saved, born again, spirit filled, gifting and all of that. But let me tell you, there's something drastically missing if you walk this walk by yourself. Always has been. You don't have to stand around anybody 10 minutes and talk to them and find out if they've been imparted to or not. I'm not talking about just education. I'm talking about a heart. Because you will always do what your father did. Now, if all you've had is an earthly father and a heavenly father, there's still a bunch right in the middle of that still missing because you haven't had relationship. It's called being an orphan, and an orphan always acts in a strange way. Jack Frost went all over that, talk about the inlet to transition. I want to say restoration. I knew that wasn't right. Transition. See, in the inlet of transition, when you're there by yourself, all this stuff is going on. If you don't have someone to draw from and someone to show you pity and sympathy and compassion and all those kind of things, you're there by yourself. So you got to learn it yourself. But the more you reach out and draw, you know, Elisha had to run after Elijah. Jesus said, come and follow me. Aaron and Joshua went out into the wilderness to meet Moses. Timothy followed Paul. There is a responsibility of pursuing. We did a message called, whose heart do you want? Well, I want the Lord's heart. Well, who doesn't? But in your day-to-day walk, who's there? Paul said, I looked to my right, or David said, I looked to my right, looked to my left, Psalms 142. There was no one there to acknowledge me, for no man cared for my soul. If that was so important, and he had as good a relationship with God as anybody's ever had, a man after God's own heart, but still he needed that relationship. See, I know what I'm talking about. I've sat in offices for years, hoping somebody would show some interest in me. Hoping somebody would come along and say, don't do it this way, do it that way. Because back in those days, it was pretty much dog eat dog. And the people you really knew didn't know any more than you did anyway. And we did not know how to pursue. We did not know how to go and ask for impartation. We didn't even know it was available. I've told this for years, that when I would bring people in. We had a guest speaker at least once a month or every 2 months. And a lot of times I brought those people in, not to just do a conference, but I'd have somebody sit and talk to. I didn't even know that for probably 10, 15 years later. I would just sit and talk to them and talk to them and talk to them and ask them questions and ask them. And some questions I wanted to ask, I was too embarrassed because they were too simple. It's just like, well, I'm not going to ask them that. They'll think that's stupid. I wonder how far I could have gone if I'd had somebody that would just said, hey, I care about you. Let me be a blessing to you. Let me impart to you. Let me encourage you. Let me stand with you. We know they can't answer every problem. We know they can't meet every need we got, but they can be there for us. I never had that. And so when I meet these people today, my heart goes out to that because I think if I can save them one hard trial, it's been worth it. If I can just be there for them one time, it's going to be worth it because that's more than what I had. And I'm understanding now that when I meet older people, I shared the third a couple Thursday nights ago about Charles Simpson down in Gatlinburg, and Bob Hausman and my brother-in-law Phil Leakes were sitting there and missed 500 people. And I went specially to talk to Charles Simpson. And we just sat down to eat. The room was packed except one little corner. And he and Ken Summerall came in. Ken Summerall started all the Liberty churches all over the South. Talked to Brother Ken. I don't know, been in his church with Jim Clark and all that. But looked up and they walked in and walked all the way around. He'd stop and talk to people and walk straight up and sat almost just one or two seats off catty corner right across the table from me. $1,000 couldn't have meant any more to me. Why? Because I know God sent him there. Not even a question. Why? God met my need. That's what I wanted. I went there for that purpose, and God put him there. That night, he had an invitation to come up front for healing. I already asked Brother Charles. I said, I want to get blessed. I want you to impart to me. He said, okay. So I hit Bob. I said, Bob, you going with me or not? He said, we're going up there now. I said, why not? I'm going to go get mine. Hello? Man, we went right up there. We're standing there, and I gave Brother Simpson a Pentecostal handshake. Had money in my hand. Gave him some other gifts. Why? Because I'm honoring the man of God. I'm honoring somebody that I respect. And I don't know if he knew how to take all of that. And Brother Summerall is standing there beside him. This is after the meeting, you know, they're up there praying for people. Bob and I stand. And he started praying. He said, Brother Ken, come over here and help me. I'm thinking, glory to God, get me a double portion right here. I mean, here's an old man that he changed the South. Ken Summerall did. Not Lester, Ken. And so we got blessed. And then when we got through, I said, all right, Brother Charles, I said, this is what I teach. I don't ever receive a blessing unless I agree with you about a need you've got. He said, from me and my wife's health, she's been battling cancer. I said, all right, I'll covenant and I'll stand with you and pray for a period of time because I'm going to believe with you. And I mean, every time I'd even walk out and go to the bathroom and come back and guess who? And nobody else in the hallway, everybody's in a meeting, guess who I'd pass? Charles Simpson. That happened two or three times. And finally, I said, I believe this is just ordained. He laughed and just went on, you know. Because you see, I want an impartation. Gray hair can give me that. You, with Christian and Tori, from people who have been around, especially Tori with healing and Christian's psalmist, I've had everybody I can get my hands on. I had Lamar Boschman pray for him. I've had Robert Gay pray for him. I've had just anybody and everybody that flows in the office of a psalmist pray. Anybody that has anything to do with healing with Tori. I've had her walk with Jean May for an hour at a time, ministering to people in lines. I want those impartations. When guest speakers come, I have them pray over the whole family. Why? I want impartation. I understand the importance of this thing. The importance of gray hair. And I wish I had more time. I got six pages of notes here and hadn't got off the first page, but we got to quit in just a couple minutes. It's gray hair. It's hereditary, passed from one generation. Nobility. I will receive things from Charles Simpson that I can't get by myself. I'll receive things from Dr. Bob Lemon I can't get by myself. I have received things from Bob Terrell that I couldn't get by myself. And I've always shared the story here, I think, several times about 10 or 15 years ago. Ron Allen from Fort Wayne called down here one time and said, what are you doing a certain night? And I said, well, nothing. Why? He said, would you like to have supper with John Wimber? And I'm thinking, it's a Pope Catholic. That means yes. So we go up. We eat supper and during the whole meeting at the biggest hotel in Fort Wayne. And I dominated the whole thing with just asking Wimber about healing things. And I really got embarrassed by the time dessert came. It just sort of dawned on me. Ain't nobody else at the table had been talking but me and him. And I got embarrassed. I began to apologize. And he said, and this is what he said. Garen can tell you. He said, no. He said, you don't have to apologize. He said, I have really enjoyed this. My first thought was, I don't know why. But you see, I didn't know then what I know now. I was drawing on who he was. I wasn't trying to just tell him everything I'd done. I was trying to draw out of him who he was because I wanted that. And so we walked, and I pretty much shut up then, and we walked out on the sidewalk. Ron went to get the car. And we're standing there on the sidewalk, and I said, Brother Wimber, I said, when we drop you off, I'd like for you to lay hands on my wife and I and bless us and impart to us. And this is what he said. He said, we don't do that way. Or we just don't do that. And then I got embarrassed again. I thought, well, maybe I've offended him. And I just shut up. Man, I just shut up. I didn't know what to say. What he was saying is, you know, this is a group we work with, and I assume that's what he was saying. So we're in the car going down there, and I'll never forget it. Karen and I sitting in the back seat, Ron and Wimber in the front, and he turned around and looked at me, and he said, you know what we were talking about on the sidewalk up there? I said, yeah. He said, we get down here to the motel. I want you to come in. I thought, I got it. I'm home free. So he invited Karen and I in. I don't even think Ron came in, did he? Did they wait outside? Went in there, sat down in his hotel room, La Quinta Suites, I think it was. And he began to talk to us, and he prayed over us. Well, see, I didn't understand what I was wanting. And he said something very unusual. He said, you know, such and such a time, I want to sit down and talk with you again because there's going to be something different. Of course, he passed away about a year after that. What did we receive? I don't know. But I got something. Why? Because I wanted it. So when I get around people, I'm going to draw from that. And every time I go to the ICA, I search out certain people. I want that gifting. I want that impartation. I want that activation. Because I'm knowing the importance. See, gray hair, experience, longevity, it means something. Why wouldn't I want that? And then to close, man, I wish I had a lot more time to do some of this, but over in Numbers chapter 6, we've talked about this one. Most of us know this as the doxology, things of that nature. We've sang it, we've quoted it. But in verse 22 of Numbers 6, and it says, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 23, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, which is a priesthood, and say to them, in this wise you shall bless the children of Israel by saying unto them, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you to give you peace. And in verse 27 is the real important one to me. And they, the ministry, shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and God said, I will bless them. What does the word bless means? To empower with special grace. See, I've never been blessed most of my ministry. People tell you might have did well or whatever, you know, you did, it was good and all that. But I never received an impartation. Blessing is impartation. Blessing is a release of words to the people. And God said to the ministry, this is a covenant between God and the ministry. If you do this, I will bless the people. See, because this was such a traditional thing in most churches, they don't even know what it's about. We threw it out, the baby with the bathwater, and said, I don't need that. That's tradition. But each one of these verses pertain to part of the Trinity and the work they do in your life. Three verses, three parts. Those are the things they do if you want to go back and research that. But God said, I'll bless them if you bless them. Before I lost the church over there, right before I did it, the Lord told me one time, start doing this. And you know, I never did understand why he did that. Did it for a few weeks, few months, quit. Never did understand it. Still don't know what God's plan was in it. Just missed it. Just missed God big time. Just didn't know. Didn't have nobody to ask. Probably wouldn't ask if I had somebody. Can't blame nobody but me. But I'm learning that blessing is important today. It's the reason I put it right up here on the pulpit. Printed it. Put it right here. Said I don't want a meeting ever dropped, you know, when we gather. Because that's when people gather corporately. This blessing is supposed to be released. And I said, I always want it spoken. People may come to the place to say, that's just a traditional thing. Well, it is a traditional thing, but it's a blessing thing, and God wants to bless us today. So as we close, I want to do that, but I want to really encourage you, because see, glory and honor comes through impartation. John chapter 17, Jesus said, as you've given me the glory, I want to give it to them. So gray hair can impart glory. When Ron DePriest said in my office, I think you were here, weren't you, when he said that, he said, the Lord told me to tell you that I wanted to serve you. I don't know if he's a year older than I am or I'm a year older than he is, but here's a man that's known internationally, like others, you know. I mean, he just... And I'm sort of sat there speechless almost. And he said, I don't even know if you know what the Lord's talking about. I said, no, I don't. I said, best thing you can do, just love me and be a friend to me. He said, well, I can do that. But he's and probably what's going to happen, there's going to be opportunities for us to work together and do so. I don't know. But the him sitting there and coming all the way from Cincinnati because he had to drive and go to Oklahoma, for him to come and just sit down and say that, and knowing this guy the 7 or 8, 10 years I have, I know he ain't going to come in here and sit down and say something like that unless God laid it in his heart. I don't know what all that means. But yet you go back in a lot of personal prophecies, it talks about all of these kind of things starting to happen now in this season of my life. And that's the season we're in. That we can impart, we can release, we can activate. But you see, that's part of the blessing of empowerment that comes. If we want it, if we don't reach out for it, you don't get it. Elisha threw his mantle on Elijah, said, Elijah threw his mantle on Elisha, and Elisha said, let me go back and kiss my mother and father. Some seemed to think he meant, let me go wait till they die and then I'll come and serve you. The old prophet said, what's that to me? And he just walked off. Got nothing to do with me. It's the Lord told me to come and do this. And really, the Hebrew infers that the reason God told him to go down there and pray for Elisha was Elisha had been praying a prayer to serve God. In fact, the Hebrew Elijah told him, the reason I'm here, it's evident you've prayed for this. That's the only reason I'm here. If you don't want to do it, you don't want to go, that's fine. I'm leaving. Old man just turned, walked off. Then Elisha ran back home, did his stuff, killed the ox, burnt the plow, and then ran after Elijah. There was a pursuing that has to take place. There's a pursuing that has to take place in all of our lives if we want something beyond our own reach. And that's what the blessing does. Gray hair, hereditary nobility. I'd just like for you to bow your head. I want to confess this over you. According to Numbers chapter 6, the Lord said, if the ministry would do this, I bless you, or the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and to give you peace. And Father, I place the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon your people. I bless them. I encourage, I affirm them that as children, men and women of God, they have the power and the wherewithal to go to the next level and to accomplish all the great things that God has given unto them to do and to be. Nothing shall be refrained from them. They'll not be deprived. But Father, we release the blessing on them. Confess that their ears open, their hearts receptive. Lord, that they want to hear your voice, know your touch, and sense your presence. And I confess that we are a fruitful people. That we are subduing. That we do have dominion. That we are multiplying and replenishing. Because, Father, we have received a special grace of empowerment to do your will. Because it's our desire to hear well done. So we bless your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen.